Omaha Alum Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, I mean, haven't been too many starts to a season in Padres history like the 4-0 that we are currently seeing. Padres swept the Braves. This is the second time, Ryan, in history, 57 years of Padres baseball, that they are 4-0. Now, I say that all dramatically, and I'll spend the rest of the podcast downplaying it. But, Ryan, do you know the last time? And I know you do, because you're much more the Padres historian than I am. The last time, the only other time, the Padres were 4-0.
Of course, it was 1984. And where'd they end up that year? In the World Series. So,
what year were you born, Ryan?
I was born in 1980. One of my earliest memories is of that team.
That's how you're a baseball fan. 4 years old, you're remembering.
And so, 1984. That's a pretty good start, Kevin. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they're just not going to lose this year. What do we think?
Well, the problem is neither are the Dodgers, so I'm not sure. We'd have to go, I guess, head-to-head, right, in terms of the tiebreaker there for who gets the number one seed in the playoffs.
Sure. It's super impressive. Kevin, you know where I'd like to start today? Is I'd like to lead off with the leadoff guy. We've discovered here in the first four games of the season that Fernando Tatis is not only the Padres' preference to hit leadoff, but a pretty darn good leadoff hitter. He continues to do Fernando Tatis things here in the first four games. How did they come to this decision, and what do you think he brings? Because he's not necessarily your typical leadoff guy.
It has been a debate since he came in with every manager, with internally in the front office. They've gone back and forth. Where is this guy best? And that's a part of, because like, you can't argue with him as the number two hitter,
right?
Which is where he's had most of his plate appearances, right? And some of it's going to be dependent on what do they think the bottom of the order is going to do, right? I mean, yeah, it's awesome that he could maybe start the game with a home run. You know, the leadoff hitter gets theoretically the most at bats, or has the potential to have the most at bats. Like, there are a lot of positives, and certainly that the run game is back a part of his game is a positive. Luis Arraez as a number two hitter, the guy is incredible. Well, he gets a lot of hits anyway, but with runners in scoring position. So there's a lot of positives to it. And late in spring training, and I'll tell you this, covering baseball as more teams, and in particular the team I cover, because that's what I can really speak to, goes outside the box, it becomes more dangerous to read trends. Okay. Yep. All spring, one game, Tatis batted leadoff. And then they went back for like the last couple or the last one to Arraez batting leadoff. That's generally a sign. Nope. They decided that Tatis was the best option. Now, maybe we'll never know. If it hadn't gone well, would they have gone back, right? If he wasn't 7-for-15, if he was 1-for-15, I don't know. It doesn't matter. We could find out later. It's not working out. They want to change things up for whatever reason. He's not getting enough at bats with guys on. Whatever it is, then maybe they'll go back. But that's the thing about the cohesion they have in the front office now, that and with Mike Schilt and the staff, things like this, they talk and they talk and they talk, and this is what they come up with.
Was this a surprise? I mean, I'm sorry. Did they spring this on baseball on purpose? Does that make sense? Is this something that maybe they didn't want the rest of the world knowing in spring training?
I think that's probably the case. And I, for the life of me, can't understand why. Like, yeah, the Braves prepared differently because Tatis was batting first.
Right.
Like, no. But that's just how the Padres, and by the way, a lot of baseball teams operate now. Sure. It's far more like the NFL, where we will protect this, I guess, better than, Pentagon secrets and war plans. MLB tries to protect, MLB teams try to protect what they're going to do.
Yeah, you need to get on AJ Preller and Mike Schilt's signal chat. Can we make that happen? I mean, to me, the big takeaways from this four-game sweep of the Braves, and I don't want to oversimplify things, I think number one is Fernando Tatis playing so well, and number two is probably the bullpen. This was a group that, heading into Saturday's game, right? Saturday, another tight one. You knew that you weren't going to have Robert Suarez and Jason Adam available.
Or Jeremiah Estrada.
Or Jeremiah Estrada. And yet they figured it out. I'm not sure that I would want to go through the Adrian Morahone game closing experience 50 times a year. But he came in, got the final out, figured it out. You know, wasn't throwing strikes for much of his appearance, but got it done. Is that just a sign of the depth that they have in this pen right now?
I thought that it had the potential. Bullpens, I'm always afraid to, and baseball people are always afraid to declare definitively that a bullpen is the strength of right. your team. Even when it looks like it is, like relievers just have a really hard job and it's very mercurial, right? But it appeared going in that this was a strength of their team, the depth, as long as, again, that's why I just did that little aside. As long as these guys performed, as they have historically, and as it appeared they were trending, guys like Jeremiah Estrada, Adrian Morahone, so Alec Jacob even. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm surprised at what are we at, 13 scoreless innings, maybe 15 now, that, you know, it was as good as it was. That's not the point that it was as good as it was. It's kind of not the point that they were 4-0. 3-1 right. would have been a good start had they played the way they played. Look, I could take it out that 500, 2 months from now, it could be argued to be okay if they were playing the way that they are supposed to play. You know, if there had been a couple injuries or something like that, you don't know how a season's going to go. The important thing is, how is the team playing at this point? Sure. Of course, though, every win. We will never, ever forget the season 2023 when any number of close games could have completely changed how we look back on 2023. I'm not saying that results aren't important, but at this point, it's the process.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, you know, we can look at it this way. The Padres are 4-0 at this moment. If they go 500, if the season starts today, right, and you go 500 the rest of the way, that's a playoff team, isn't it?
Not what everybody else does. I'm laughing only because you might be right. Like, that's how close it might be at the end, right? Like, this could have been a tiebreaker for a wild card spot or something today, yesterday, or the day before, whatever. One of those wins, right? The 1-0 win, right? The comebacks. Those could be looked back on, along with a number of other ones that were what got the Padres in the playoffs and didn't get the Braves in. That's just how it is now with the six teams. And I think that people need to understand one of the side effects of the sixth team, more teams are trying.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It really could. Like, it's good that we're both trying to say, okay, 4-0, whatever, and also say, like, that could have been super important.
Absolutely. This is just a quick aside. I have been so impressed with Jason Adam so far this season. And then I look back at his numbers last season, too. He's been incredible. I mean, his ERA as a Padre is in the ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's under 1.5.
Went through a rough patch in spring training, which is one of the things, the examples I'll just throw out there, that why we don't read too much into spring training, right?
Right.
He had 5 perfect innings and decided the ball wasn't coming out right. His mechanics were askew. He spent the next 4 games getting lit up while working on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why.
Then again, said, I've worked enough, partially because the season's like 3 days away. So now let's just get focused on results. And here we are. It's not to say that, you know, he's going to be this good every single time out. But like, yeah, that guy's a really good pitcher. That was a really good trade.
A really good trade. You know, we talked so much about the bench the last time we spoke, which was our sort of season preview. And again, I'm going to couch all this by saying having the best bench in the world doesn't matter if Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts don't hit. And
Jackson Merrill. Don't forget Jackson Merrill. How could you forget Jackson Merrill?
And those guys proved in this 4-game sweep that when they are on, this is a really good team. All that said, sort of this veteran group that we're still sort of getting to know, I think, has been really impressive so far. You know, you're looking at, you know, Yuli Gurriel, right? Couple of big hits so far in the first 4 games. Other guys coming off the bench. I mean, Martin Maldonado, I think, playing well. We haven't seen a ton of Jose Iglesias. He replaced Manny Machado on Saturday when he exited the game. But, you know, so far this has been, I mean, I don't know. They haven't asked a ton out of this bench, but I think the bench has delivered.
Absolutely. And you're right. They haven't asked a ton except
Gavin Sheets.
They've come through, right? Like, right. Gavin Sheets pinch hit home run, ties the game in the seventh in the opener. Yuli Gurriel in game three, a seventh inning pinch hit single, scores Jake Cronenworth. And by the way, shout out Mike Schill, handle into the bullpen. The pinch hitters that he chose and the pinch hitters he didn't choose, like letting Jake Cronenworth bat. Now, these are somewhat no-brainers, but a manager's got to make those decisions. He's got to, you know, decide what he's going to do. And so I just, you know, very impressed. And as Mike Schilt said, and I will always say this, the players came through. He could pull all the right levers, right? Andy Green is a really good manager, baseball manager, baseball game manager. It did not matter what moves Andy Green made most nights.
Right.
Mike Schilt has a better team. So, you know, the bullpen rewards him for how he handles them. And so far, the bench has rewarded him for how he has made the maneuvers.
Yeah, my big takeaway, I think, through four games, and it's only four games, is a lot of the traits that last year's team appear to have carried over onto this team. I'm not going to use the term grit squad, but they certainly appear to be well coached. I don't think we talk in baseball terms about teams being well coached, hardly ever. But, you know, there's seemed like every button Mike Schilt has pushed the last 4 days, good things have happened.
Yes. And then you go to, they're reading balls in the dirt. And then you go and you watch spring training and the drills that they work on that are so unique. The heads up plays where maybe you didn't practice that exact play, but you worked on in drills and in your daily ball talk. You talked about situations. They're ready to play good baseball. That does not mean they won't make errors. It's a long season. Ask Manny Machado. That's the kick he's on lately, is how long and difficult the season is. And he's 100% right, by the way. But those things don't happen by accident. You get smart players and you equip them to make smart plays. Look, I feel like when I start to get going on that, it's like I'm saying, you know, I don't want people to misconstrue in this world we live in where it's like black or white. You're saying they're great or you're saying they're horrible. The Padres will not win 120 games this year, all right?
Right.
It doesn't happen, right? But they play good baseball.
Yeah, and it helps.
That's all I'm saying. They play good baseball. And having watched a lot of bad baseball, having watched a team in 2023 that I reluctantly say this, but I'm saying it just to get my point across because I don't want to blanket the team and I don't want to say, you know, get too much into the past of the, you know, whatever it was like, but essentially put their uniforms out there some nights and thought they were going to win in 2023. And the coaching and, you know, the people in charge there in terms of the coaching staff and the manager, you know, kind of thought that was going to be the case too. Like, how are we not winning more with all this talent? Well, Mike Schilt went on the margins.
Yep. Jake Cronenworth deking the runner to turn what could have been a soft line out into a double play. Again, four games. Don't want to make too much out of it. This has been really good, Jake Cronenworth. A good week for Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah, he's a smart player. And, you know, those of us, yourself, me, many, many others, many fans that watch a lot of baseball go, well, of course he did that. Yeah. Think about that in real time.
Yeah.
What he did there and how he did it and how he sold it. And I just think that that's really impressive. That's why I wrote about it. We don't have time to go into describing it right now, but you can go back and read about it in the Padres Daily a couple of days ago. But like, yes. And Jake has always been good on defense. And, you know, look, we don't want to get – Jake has hot and cold stretches as much as anybody on this team, man. It's wild. But Jake swings in a really good place, and he appears to be in a really good place.
Absolutely. It's easier to play good baseball when you're getting great pitching. Nick Pivetta last night introduced himself to San Diego Padres fans with one of the better pitching performances you'll see. Really good. Really good and really efficient. you know, for a guy who you know, strikes out a lot of hitters, he, what, it was in the 80s when he was lifted, right? Was it 83?
Yes, 84? 82, I believe. Yep. Okay.
I mean, what did we see from him yesterday, and how does this portend for, you know, good things for them the rest of the season?
I love watching him pitch, and so do the fielders behind him. He goes fast. He, when he's throwing strikes, he throws strikes. Like Xander Bogaerts, who I love because he's honest and he played with Nick. Mm-hmm. He was asked, is this what we can expect? He said, when he's on, yeah. Guy's got really good stuff. And when he's on, throwing strikes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not to get too technical, but his fastball, which is like, you know, mid-90s, is one of those that plays much faster because of his other stuff and because of, when it's on, the ride he gets, where it appears to be going to the batter, to be going up. He got an unbelievable amount yesterday, and especially at times. He has really good stuff. He made some adjustments, wrote about that in today's Padres Daily. Love the guy's intensity. I like to call him politely intense when he talks to the media. Like, get the questions out, get the answers done. Okay, we're finished. But very thoughtful, but just the same way he is on the mound, basically. And I have enjoyed that. Now, he's a curiosity to some extent. You know, the guy's never had an ERA under 4.04. So, like he said, it's one blank start. So, like, let's not get carried away, but, man, that was good. By the way, don't know if you read the newsletter today. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a guy named Jimmy – shame on me. 1986, Jimmy Jones, mm-hmm. Padres and MLB debut in mm-hmm. September of 1986. Complete game, one hit, no walk, shutout.
Wow.
That is a lesson in don't get carried away, because I didn't have time to look up what the heck happened to Jimmy Jones, but he's out of the league by, you know, the early 90s, and he never did another thing. But that's incredible. How did I not know that? You know why? Because the hit was like in the third inning, all right? And so it wasn't – it's never been listed among the almost no hitters.
Well, right. Yeah. And I mean, yesterday, what was the – it was just a little dump single to right field early, right? And so, you know, sort of – I wasn't like, you know, I didn't get that feeling that, hey, tonight might be the night, right? Because it was early. But, you know, yeah, like you said, he worked quickly. Look, I think pitching in Petco Park when you're a guy who has a rising fastball really helps.
Hey, and there was a ball to the wall that Hayward got that I believe was a double at Fenway Park. Right? It was 345 feet, okay?
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that thing's a double, and maybe that changes the game. Maybe that changes how he feels. Maybe that changes his next pitch to the next guy, right? I think that was in the first inning, okay? Might have been the second. There was a ball deep to center field. I don't know exactly the dimensions of the – but the monster in Fenway kind of extends over a little bit, and maybe that ball that Merrill caught on the track is off the wall, and it's a double or something. Like – That was one of the things. Fly ball pitcher, and he didn't yesterday, by the way. A lot of ground balls, but you're totally right. Petco Park could really help this guy.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit is Chris Young. Well, when Chris Young was a Padre, right? Now, Nick Pivetta is about 6 inches shorter than Chris Young. Most of us are about a foot shorter than Chris Young. But, you know, Chris Young, same thing, right? Fastball that seemed faster than it was. It rode a little, and it got hit sometimes, but it got hit into the outfield at Petco Park where the ball was often caught. Yeah. He was really good at Petco Park during his time as a Padre. And, you know, maybe that's what we get out of Pivetta, right? Maybe, you know, not every night's going to be whatever it is, 7 or 8 shutout innings. But if he can pitch well at home, man, that gives the Padres a chance just about every time.
Yeah, and absolutely, and you're right. Like, if that's what it is, that could make a point or more difference in his ERA. That's not to say that's what the Padres are expecting, that he would have, you know, have a 3.04. They think he can, but or that he's only good at home. There's been some adjustments made, but that's a really good point. And we've got another debut tonight. You know what we didn't do, Ryan? As we sit here and we're downplaying, we were evidently so excited about, you know, the sweep of the Braves that we forgot to say, you know, there's another series coming up.
They have to play another game
starting tonight.
Yeah, you're right. They play the Cleveland Guardians. Again, traditionally, a little bit like the Brewers, right? A team that is in the playoffs most seasons, not going to wow you with their payroll totals, but a team that is always playing good baseball.
It's what you thought. There's no apples to apples. The Brewers and the Guardians are what you thought the Padres were going to be in 2015, 16, you know, not the 15 season, but you know what they were building toward. That's what you thought they were going to be.
Right. Pitching matchups. Tonight we've got Luis Ortiz versus new guy, Kyle Hart, making his Padres debut, number 68.
Only lefty in the rotation.
In the rotation, right? Wearing a number befitting an offensive guard. Interesting. And then we go into, Tuesday, Logan Allen versus Michael King. And then Wednesday, they wrap up with, do we know pitching matchups there,
Ken? Ben Lively and Dylan Cease.
Ooh, that's a pitching matchup. So that's good.
The Padres do get, they did not anticipate this, so I hadn't looked ahead. Or they didn't anticipate this before the season. Obviously, they anticipated it more recently. But like before the season, they thought they would face all righties.
Right.
But Logan Allen's a lefty. So right. We'll see some, Gavin Sheets night off. It'll be interesting. I think that, I think Jake will start. Jake will still, that he's rallied here. By the way, the game-deciding home run was off a lefty. His double was off a lefty, literally off a lefty, the other night. I think he'll start, and I don't see much other lineup change at this early stage for a lefty, unless they want to get Jose Iglesias a night. But the offense is kind of clicking right now, and it's a little early for days off. And one thing to keep in mind, too, is that the Padres have this Thursday off, next Thursday off, the next Thursday off, the next Thursday off. Right. So, guys should be able to play pretty regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. A reminder, Logan Allen, the Logan Allen who pitches tomorrow is left-handed. Not that Logan Allen.
Even though Logan Allen did go to the Guardians.
Right, right.
Very confused.
Right. The Padres had a Logan Allen who ended up with the Guardians, who's also left-handed, just not that Logan Allen.
Yes. Jeez.
Very confusing. A couple things, Kevin, and then I'll let you go here. What has surprised you the most here through the first four games?
Besides that they're 4-0, What's interesting is that it's like the opposite of surprise. It's surprising they're 4-0 because you know what? This is their first time in almost 3 years doing it, right? Hadn't swept the Braves four games since the 70s, right? Since before you were born, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Found that out today. Surprised me. Honestly, it's funny. You come out of spring and I work really hard to let spring optimism be in there, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Wandy Peralta looks good, like everything, mm-hmm. right? I can't say that I'm surprised, even though you don't see starts like that from Michael King or Dylan Cease all that mm-hmm. much. It's early in the season. That happens all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised by, I guess, a little bit by how good they were. Chris Sale eked out three runs. They got three runs off Chris Sale, right? He was pretty good. Okay. Yeah. And then Randy Vasquez, not a great spring and bullpen beat up. The funny thing about baseball is a lot of times those games are predictable. All right. Mm-hmm. That's the game in the series that we didn't really have a chance to win. We don't like that we lost, but we're going to, eat it and we're fine. We know mm-hmm. why we didn't. But the funny thing about baseball is it's like, every time that I would tweet out a lineup last year that Tyler Wade was in, right? And, and they would win that night, and they had a winning record when Tyler Wade started. Baseball's a funny, funny game. But how well this series turned out when Chris Sale started the opener and Randy Vasquez with no bullpen backup and they win 1-0, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'll offer, Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel is my big surprise. And here's why, and it's completely unfair to him. Okay? I'm prefacing all of this by saying it is unfair to him. When they sign players in their 40s, I think recency bias to Nelson Cruz, to Matt Carpenter.
I don't think you're alone.
To Matt Carpenter.
I don't think you're alone.
Right.
As you noted, unfair to him. Guy was turning around 99 from Jordan Hicks in spring training. Now, as I noted, I think here last week, as I've written, Yuli Gurriel, Jose Iglesias, these guys, Jason Hayward, mm-hmm. like they need to show they can play. Mm-hmm. They love what they bring to this team, mm-hmm. but they got to show they can play for the very reason, basically the same reason that you brought up. Like they're older. The recent results, not Jose Iglesias, recent results show that he can still play. But, you're getting older. And the thing about athletics, Those of us who have crossed a certain age, we know how the physical go, but we're not trying to do what they're trying to do. So it can be incredibly steep, the decline, where you were able to do it one season, you come back the next spring and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I've lost a mile an hour on the treadmill. I can't go that fast anymore. I can't make that turn anymore. I can't catch up to that pitch anymore. So this is all a wait and see with those guys.
Yeah, especially given the guys who did not make the team, right? I don't think Yuli Gurriel feels the pressure, but I would think that, you know, if this were to turn sour, it would be doubly so because, you know, Tyler Wade, right? Going to AAA?
They're still working on it. Tyler Wade has some time to decide, and they're still working on it. The Padres would like him to, yes.
Right. Eggy Rosario, same thing, right? A couple guys who they internally liked very much. They gave a roster spot to Gurriel, but my goodness, I mean, there's not a much of a better way to introduce yourself, ditto for Gavin Sheets, than, you know, the big hits that both of those guys have had in the first four games.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, absolutely. And that's a part of – so I think that's a really good one in terms of, wow, right away, right? Like, I don't think this bench was very popular, right?
No.
In terms of the perception by people on the outside. And hey, for one series, couldn't have gone much better.
Yeah. Gavin Sheets, man. It's him and Jason Hayward. Also, just quick aside, both of those guys are – watching them play, those guys are big athletic dudes.
They're the ones that should be wearing 80. You know, they're the ones that should be wearing Dylan Cease's number. And, you know, yeah, yes. No, they're tight ends are, you know, in the league, as they call it over there, the league.
Do you miss the league, Kevin? Dealing with the league.
I miss Sundays. I miss suiting up and every game being huge, right? Yes. I love that every game isn't huge and it's all a part of a puzzle. A baseball season is a novel with 162 chapters, or if you want to say, you know, 40 chapters series. That's what I love about baseball. But there is something about covering football that, you know,
What I love about baseball is tonight. It's the Cleveland Guardians on a Monday night.
Yeah, like, and you know what's great now? The Cleveland Guardians on a Monday night will get 38,000.
I know. Not 12.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, they won't. I'm sorry. They'll get 43 Jackson Merrill bobblehead night.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's right.
One thing they've done brilliantly, man, they don't do these giveaways willy-nilly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like, oh, every Saturday's beach towel or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're drawing really well. When might we need a bump from 36 to 42? Oh, Guardians, Monday night, first Monday of the season, Jackson Merrill bobblehead night.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And again, you know, San Diego Unified's on spring break, the kind of night where you could bring your kids if you wanted to, for sure.
You know what? Another thing, and by the way, when they do this, they plan it out. They know the schedules.
Right. Absolutely. Schools. Yep. All right. Let's jump off there. The big series coming up: Padres, Guardians, two playoff caliber teams. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.